friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The Newsom trade is a little bizarre to me. I mean, he's really a really good player. I mean, obviously losing Emerson in training camp really hurt. But defensively, they played very, very well. And Newsom's a part of that. And I thought he was playing well. I don't really totally understand the trade. Tyson Campbell is a good player. He's a big corner. You know, they're having a lot of success taking the ball away in Jacksonville. Maybe it's just something that both teams feel like benefits their team. And I don't think that's a distraction. But, you know, I mean, it's playing for Jim Schwartz's defense is, I would say, is fairly complex. I don't know how quickly he can be up to speed right now.
Brian Baldinger on with the morning show. Pretty explosive morning with Baldy, with the morning boys. Said a lot of stuff we're going to react to today. I actually disagree. I don't think it's a bizarre trade if you kind of know where the Browns are and where they're going to go. Greg Newsom, although they could have re-signed him, I think at some point you have to decide between re-signing him and MJ Emerson. I think we know which way they'd go.
Well, and now that you see the price is going to be north of $20 million a year for Greg Newsom.
Yeah.
And, come on, that's not happening.
And I think Tyson Campbell is at the very least a player who you can evaluate over the final parts of the season and figure out what's happening. And while in doing so, you're going to save $8 million. Like, I don't think the financial component of this is the Browns try and figure out the whole salary cap going forward. I don't think that can be undersold. To me, this is a salary dump.
Well, but there's
with
also
a player they kind of like.
Well, there's also really high upside if they can get Campbell turned around. And, mm-hmm. and again, if he stays healthy and everything is another component to it. But if Schwartz feels like he can do something with him and put him in more man coverage, and which I doubt they'll do, but like try there with him. Okay, now we're starting to cook here, also with the idea that Jacksonville's paying so much of that money to begin with anyway. It's about $1.5 million a year as a flyer for a guy that got a $75 million contract.
What's funny about it is Campbell, at his best, is way better than Greg Newsom at his best.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, love and respect to Greg Newsom. You were here 4.5 years. That means something to someone. yeah, Greg's highs were never really that high, even though he was okay on the outside. Like, I think he had a couple nice games this year, and I think people really took it too far with the praise on Greg Newsom.
Well, and that might be where the Browns are sitting too. Like, wait, and so everyone's buying the Greg Newsom stock right now. Maybe we got to sell while it's high. Maybe we got to sell while we can. And it seems like Jacksonville's that guy.
Yeah, and again, you saved $8 million. But why I call it a salary dump is they get the better pick. When you're getting the seventh rounder and they're getting the sixth rounder in a pick swap. That's telling you that you had to adjust the value for some reason. Yes, some of that is Greg Newsom's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. And some of it's also that not only did Jacksonville take on the Newsom money, they also ate the salary, the signing bonus of Tyson Campbell, which again cleared you about $8 million in cap this year.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like after the trade involving these two teams at the draft, if all of a sudden, and James Gladstone's the youngest GM in all of the NFL, right? And that's only surpassed by the idea that Andrew Berry was the youngest GM hired when he was hired by the Browns. But I wonder if after the two teams dealt with each other in the draft, I wonder if, do you think Andrew Berry just thinks that he can just pick on Jacksonville at this point?
I don't know. But I do think
you
he
see
knows.
What I'm saying?
I do know. I do think he knows that James Gladstone is super willing to do what
very aggressive.
I don't want to say whatever you want.
And Gladstone's already trying to win not only these press conferences, but like you already saw him. He's already taken victory laps in Jacksonville today about how much better the team is with Greg Newsom and all these other comments and everything. Like, I almost wonder if this is Andrew Berry. You know, this happens in baseball. I love this in baseball. There's certain teams that are very analytically driven, and they just pick on, and they're now every front office has analytics guys, and so it's tightened up a little bit. But about a decade, 15 years ago, you'd call up teams that just had those old school baseball guys that played with their hunch and their gut, and you just take them to the cleaners in these type of deals. And I wonder if Andrew Berry, I wonder if that trade for the draft and the draft opened his eyes to like Jacksonville, someone I want to keep doing business with, because I think I fleeced him there, and I wonder if I can get him again.
By the way, the answer now in baseball is Jerry DePoto or AJ Preller. You'd really like to get in with it. By the way, smart analytics guys, but those are the guys you can really rip off.
It's really close. Like 15 years ago, it was like half the league was just a bunch of just basically old baseball guys that didn't really know what was going on versus all these analytically driven guys. And you could just see them all just feast over on those guys.
Now, I think the fair question is, how far does this go? I don't think these two trades this week constitute tanking. I don't. But if Njoku's the next guy, that's a guy, you've got a bad offense. That's a guy that has a place on this team this year and might be your best receiver at the moment, which is wild to say at this point, but it is true. If you trade him, or if you trade any of your interior linemen, but certainly Wyatt Teller, like those are the guys that if you make a move, even if you get great value, you cannot tell people you're not tanking because you are removing the guardrails, especially on the offensive side.
How far does this go then?
I don't think there's anybody untouchable.
That's kind of where I'm sitting right now. There are untouchables with like rookie class and stuff like that. Yeah,
but like in terms of like the guys
that are in their last year or second to last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Or honestly, like we'll play the Nick Costos audio right now because he was on Baskin and Phelps and he threw an interesting name out there.
I think 4-6 weeks from now, we are going to be talking about Isaiah Bond as being the number one receiver on this team. I actually see no reason why they would keep Jerry Jeudy on the team. I think this is going to be like a fire sale come trade deadline time. And Njoku could be on the way out. I'm not reporting anything, just saying. Like, Harold Fannin's been really good. You save money if Njoku is on the way out. And I think they want to open up space for Bond and maybe for Jamari Thrash. So I wouldn't be shocked if Judy's not on the team post-trade deadline.
I would be shocked if Jerry Jeudy was not on the team.
I would also be shocked. But like, I think what the narrative driven out of that clip, though, is the idea that basically anybody's on the table.
I think the thing with Jeudy is, and maybe this is like Newsom, but as a wide receiver, I'm sure that there are fans who would drive Jerry to the airport themselves. Mm-hmm. My thing is, again, the offense isn't that good with Jerry on it. And I do think like, Jerry has had, there should be a 30 for 30 on the quarterbacks that have thrown to him. He's never had a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's never played with a good quarterback. I mean, like, when, by the way, not even a functional quarterback. The best he had was Jameis Winston for like 7 weeks last year.
I'm gonna say maybe the version of Russell Wilson that we were like, is he washed? Is he not washed?
Where we didn't definitively know
that,
he was
that
washed.
That one right in between there. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is.
But like, I guess my thing is, like, while I'm not high on Jerry Jeudy and I'm pretty sick of watching him drop footballs, I don't know what you're actually going to get for him.
Well, and also, you got to think about the quarterback that you'd be drafting in 2026 and the environment he's got to enter as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can go out and get wide receivers, but you're already two wide receivers short as is.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you want to, like, pay $25 million a year to Jakobi Meyers this offseason, who... I just wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If we're being very fair, I wouldn't do that. 216-474-0092. How far should the trades go for the Browns? But Njoku, like, if you don't think you're going to commit money to him and there can be a savings this year, yeah, fourth rounder for David Njoku, let's have that conversation. Teller's the hardest one for me.
Well, especially because you have four guys in the offensive line that are up at the end of the season anyway.
Yeah.
So like, you're going to need to spend money on the offensive line at the end of this season. I wonder if they just go for a completely new look, though.
Yeah, but that's hard. It is hard between... If I knew Whipler could step in at center, and if I knew Zach Sinter could hold down one of the guard spots, and maybe we put right tackle for DeJuan. Maybe, okay, well, that's three. You really only need two of five spots, but okay... Whipler's had injury issues. Yeah, Jones has had injury issues.
I wouldn't trust Zach Sinter to hold anything. Nonetheless, a spot on a football team.
I would trust him to hold a defensive lineman.
Zach Sinter?
Yeah, because he's not good at football.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. But, I think Wyatt might be the only one that if you traded him, I would be legitimately mad about, even if you got, like, a third-round pick for him. I think I would get legitimately pissed because... He's 30.
Mm.
That's still young enough to pay. He's still got good football in front of him.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
And you have so many holes next year. I don't think you need to add one more on that offensive line.
Who are we mad about if they actually trade?
I'm probably not mad about Njoku.
I'm not mad. You know, Njoku is one of my favorite players, has been for a long time. I think, what was it, yesterday or maybe a couple days ago? Would you call me an Njoku honk or something?
I don't know, but that sounds about right.
It was something that was like, yeah, and that's fair. That's very fair. I've been very much a fan of David Njoku for a while. But if they traded him, at this point, I'd just be happy for him. But good for you if they traded him to a good team.
Unless it was like Arizona, and then I'd feel sad for him again.
Well, yeah, they also have one of the best tight ends in the league. I think they'll be fine there.
Who's their OC? Our old quarterbacks coach.
You're going to do a Trey McBride, David Njoku combo?
The double tight end set. And I wouldn't be about Njoku. Maybe Malik Collins. Because I think Malik's got another year after this. I don't know what kind of trade offer you'd get for Malik. I would be kind of mad about that one.
He's somebody that his value is higher than it typically would be because he's playing really well right now.
I'll give you one. Alex Wright.
Okay.
I think when the time comes this offseason to re-sign Alex, he'll command a little money. I don't think he's going to command a lot of money. I think that's a piece on that defensive line that needs to be
here. No, but I'm talking actually angry. I'm not talking like a piece you come in and you're like just scratching your head and you're like, I don't know how they got there. I'm talking like actually angry, like Isaiah Bond angry.
Oh, I don't think anything's going to make me as mad as Isaiah Bond.
That's the point.
I was mad. That was rage that you
was
saw
next
with the Isaiah
mad.
Bond signing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point, though, is that I feel like right now, the way I'm looking at these players and the way I'm looking at this roster, if they get any value out of any of these guys, if they start to signal that this season is what this season is starting to trend to. I can't be mad about it.
But can I tell you the thing that does stand out? As we have the, is it a fire sale? Are they tanking?
That's the other thing. Why are we all so confused on this? Why is a fan base, are we not collectively on understanding what's going on here?
Because it's quick. That they pulled the ripcord on the season really quickly.
It just snuck up on people?
No.
Like 5 weeks in, it's just too early to abandon expectations or whatever else?
I think rightfully so. People said it's been an ungodly first 5 weeks. A comedy of errors.
Oh, heard from another person in the 8-9 win club, by the way. Coach Riz texted and said he's going to win the burger bet.
Yeah, sure you are, buddy. Yeah. I can already taste it. I just wonder where I'm going to go. However, I think people thought maybe you'll get to week 8 or week 9, and then you pull the ripcord on the season. You're not even waiting to get to Miami or the Titans game. You're not even waiting to get to the point of the season. Like, you're doing this before you got through the hardest part of the season. And I think that's where people are struggling. Not me, because I'm like, I mean, you're 1-4.
You're 3-win
Wilson. You're
probably
1-5.
You're 3-win Wilson. You had this coming from a mile away.
And I also have a burger bet, 3 of them, on this. But like,
I wonder, YouTube, the super chat must be getting mad about your burger bets at some point here.
Why?
You're enjoying the burger bets a little too much, I think.
I'm winning. How can you be mad?
Because the Browns are losing.
Okay, but it's not my fault.
You see how this is? It's real.
My success
real
and their
down
downfall
here.
Might be tied together.
It seems like it is.
Be happy for your boy. All right, Super Chat? I'm happy for the Super Chat. When the Super Chat gets good things, you can be happy for me too. But no, I mean, I think it's early. I think after the first 5 weeks of the season, 1 week into Dylan Gabriel, by the way, which we can talk about going from he's going to spark the team to now we have to find out what we have in Dylan Gabriel.
Which, by the way, becomes
we made
harder,
that switch in one damn week.
Well, it becomes harder if you start selling off all the pieces, too.
Yes, especially in Njoku, especially Wyatt Teller.
I mean,
or
you
Posick
know,
or
you
Conklin.
Can hear my Shedeur Sanders excuse from a mile away, can't you?
Would you be mad if they traded Shedeur?
Yes. I'd also be happy for him at this point because they don't really seem like they want to play him.
What if they got a fourth rounder for
him?
They
seem like they don't want to play him.
What if they took a fifth rounder and swapped it for a fourth rounder?
Part of me would be happy about this. You realize I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be good.
Uh huh.
So I'm not. No, I would not be happy about this.
Okay. I was just trying to say
you can tell how where my excuse is going to come from a mile away if he does in fact play.
That you just be happy
and
for
stinks
him?
Up the joint. No, if he plays and gets in at like week 14 or 15 and it's just a disaster.
Oh, they sabotaged him.
Not that they sabotaged him. They never gave him a chance.
Ah.
With this roster and the amount of pieces that they've sold off and everything in between, never gave him a chance.
I think we're going to get very close to the point of being able to say that about Dylan Gabriel.
Well, that's where we're not there yet, but I wondered if we're going to hit that spot where everyone looks around and it's like, I don't even know that we can fairly judge Dylan Gabriel at this point.
216-474-0092. Greg Newsom, he gone. Tyson Campbell, he here. Joe Flacco's in Cincinnati. He actually will start this weekend as well. How far should this go for the Browns? That's another thing. Speaking of the timing of this, trading Wyatt Teller today would feel, or Monday would feel different to me than if you waited till the exact trade deadline. those 4 weeks do matter. I think it's 4 weeks. Those 4 weeks do matter because it's about giving these guys, they're, at some point, pulling the plug on this season this early is disrespectful to the guys that you sold something on. And then, I mean, you bait and switched it for that locker room. I don't know how that locker room's happy today if you think you got worse at corner and now you don't have the fallback of Joe Flacco at quarterback.
There was a reason why they sent Joel Bitonio out there to speak to the media today. Anytime they send out Joel, it's like, we know you're gonna do our bidding in a good way.
Not trying to steal Ken's bit, but Joel kind of is the Culligan, man.
He plays the part well.
He carries that water really well.
And he did so today, too. And if you're Joe, by the way, you got to be livid that this is how this is going down.
Yeah.
You came back. You returned. You tried to save them for another season, all with the grandiose idea that they were going to try to be competitive or do something close to competitive. Not this. Whatever this is, not this. And they're starting to sell off pieces?
Just wait until...
We're in week six.
Just wait until they try and trade Joel. I think that will legitimately piss people off. Even though it's even though he's end of his career, maybe last five games, unless he asks for it.
Yeah, I don't think they could do that.
You put it beyond this organization?
I put nothing beyond this organization, but that is as ruthless as ruthless gets.
I put nothing beyond
this
organization.
He would just quit on the spot. He'd be like, I'm just done.
I don't think he would.
Unless they send him to Kansas City or somewhere. I'm just done.
I got to do right by Joel. 216-474-0092. How far are the trades going to go? How far should the trades go for the Cleveland Browns? Our buddy Joe Vardner, the Athletic, joins us and talks the latest for the Cavaliers. And, of course, the insane live basketball idea. I'm okay. That was too heavy-handed. Joe joins in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.